This is the Hong Kong Football Podcast, coming to you after a few weeks in which the top two's tussle continues, with Kitchy still yet to lose, and Southern star Patrick Ha makes ResCap say, ah! We've got a lot to bring you up to speed on, including the latest on the AFC Cup group stage, a denouement to Happy Valley's outbreak of sexism, bit of transfer news, and the latest from the Hong Kong Premier League, where, as is the fashion, Kitchy and Easton seem to have broken away into their own elite league. My name, as always, is James Legg, and I'm joined today by editor-in-chief of Offside.hk, Tobias Dusa.
Hello, very excited to be here.
Yeah, it's been a controversial intro, but you know, I'm sticking by it. Also with us is writer on all things Asian football, Jonathan White.
Hello.
How is everyone? What's new?
I'm great. How are you, Jim?
Never better.
Much like the Hong Kong Premier League, then.
that's not true, is it? Let's start, I guess, with the AFC Cup. Last I heard, there was going to be a bubble in Hong Kong. Lee Man, Eastern, Taiwanese team, Mongolian team. It was going to happen in May. Turns out that's not the case. Please bring me up to speed.
It isn't going to happen in May. The Hong Kong Premier League teams, in their might, united HKPL teams assemble. They asked the HKFA to write to the AFC and say, we would very much like to finish our league before you come here and play another competition. The AFC granted that. It's been moved to June. So we will see out the Hong Kong Premier League season, and this will give us more time for the bubble that has been mooted to actually be arranged with the government, because that hasn't happened.
So when they agreed with the AFC and with these foreign teams that they could come here and play the bubble of the AFC Cup, they hadn't checked either their own fixture list or checked with the government if it was okay.
It's always better to ask for forgiveness than permission. My understanding is the bubble is tacitly, implicitly agreed, okay, but the government actually haven't come out and said this.
Okay.
But you'd imagine it would be fine.
I mean, the funny thing is, though, that I think until a few days ago, Tainan City still believed that they're going to Hong Kong, and they have, like, cancelled or postponed all their games in the league so that they can fully focus and, like, prepare for a potential quarantine or what it may be. So I think not everyone has been notified.
This is a fair point, that the AFC Cup has got a bit of the old Hong Kong Premier League
itis.
Yeah, there's a touch of the domestic game reaching out into the region, which is nice, I guess. But yeah, they didn't know. That's kind of mental.
Yeah. Failings on the organisational side. So we think it's going to happen in June. So we've still got that to look forward to in the hot, hot heat of a Hong Kong June. I'm sure at least one of the games will be called off because of a typhoon.
Well, probably two, because they're in 3 match days with
doubleheaders. No, I'm imagining a very quick in and out typhoon. Just bam.
Could be.
Well, if we're struggling with organisation, maybe the HKFA needs a new chief executive.
Boy, are you in for a treat.
Why?
They've just got one.
What's his name?
Joe Tam. Joaquin to his non-friends, apparently. I'm going to leave this one to Toby, our organisational mensch.
Well, the Hong Kong FA has been without a proper CEO for a while. They had an acting CEO for the last couple of months. And yeah, he has a lot to do. He's a bit of a different candidate as the other ones before. So he's one who is coming actually from the private business field. He has been working in manufacturing and mergers and acquisitions and whatnot. Has an MBA from Hong Kong UST, which is one of the prestigious MBAs in Hong Kong. He has had a lot of achievements in the past with reaching growth goals for his companies. It is yet to see, right, how he's going to implement this for Hong Kong Football Association. What are the strategies that he would like to lay out? I think no matter who is coming in, it's going to be a difficult task. Maybe it's good to have an outsider, first of all. There are, of course, advantages to it. But yeah, we all kind of expect that it will be a very difficult endeavor for him. And yeah, we hope that he is able to walk the line.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because if you remember, the kind of renewal plan for Hong Kong football a few years ago was Project Phoenix. So if we do another one, will it that be the Joaquin Phoenix?
Yeah, well, the Ring of Fire. I don't know.
You can't just say Johnny Cash songs. Oh. Stop being such a joker. Okay, Joaquin Phoenix jokes out the way, I think. Does anyone want to make jokes about Joaquin, the footballer, played for Real Betis back in the day?
Only one unsavoury fact, so I'm going to leave that right there.
All right, we'll leave that for you to Google, listeners. Okay.
Good luck to him.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. Would anyone like to hear some China League One news?
Boy, would we.
Yesterday, Zhejiang beat Meizhou Hacker in the clash of the Hong Kongers. Leung Ngoc Hang for Zhejiang, Vas Nunez for Meizhou. Zhejiang won 1-0, top of the league after three games, unbeaten, and most pertinently for centre-back Leung yet to concede a goal. So that's, he's having a good season north of the border. Interestingly, Igor Sartori, one of the greatest players in Hong Kong football, recent Hong Kong football history, was an unused substitute in that game. He seems not to be making the team anymore. But we'll see how he gets on. So he's in good form, Leung, which is good news for the Hong Kong national team with World Cup qualifiers on the horizon. When exactly are those happening?
In June.
In Bahrain.
it should be around mid-June, right, that they are going to happen, if they're happening. But at the moment, they're scheduled.
Which would be the first games for the national team in how long?
Since November 2019.
Wow. December. That historic EAFFE1 finals football tournament.
So is it just one match against Bahrain? Or is it a bubble situation again?
It's a bubble situation.
It's a bubble situation.
Provided it all goes ahead. It's a long way to go before that, given how quickly things keep changing.
And who's in the group? Reminder for anyone who hasn't been listening since.
Bahrain, Hong Kong, Cambodia, but they played them twice. Iran, Iraq.
I remember it was a tough group. And one player it seems won't be making the trip is Tan Chun Lok.
Yes, that's very true. So he will not be released by Guangzhou City, formerly RNF. So at the moment, according to FIFA regulations, if there's any quarantine involved that is longer than 5 days, then the clubs can refuse to release the player. At least this is how I understood it. And this is what Guangzhou City has opted to do. This is also why I'm a bit worried about Leung Ngoc Hang, if he is actually going to be allowed, given the quarantine situation between Hong Kong and China that is still going on.
Is it just like, I'm kind of pleased that he's doing well enough that they don't want to send him back? Because he's playing now, right, in the CSL for them regularly, which is a real, you know, step up for someone who was with Taipo a couple of seasons ago, a very good Taipo team, but nonetheless, it's a big jump in terms of level. So on the bright side, as a fan of Hong Kong football more generally, rather than just of the national team, that's a positive. However, he is one of the better players, so it'd be nice if he could play for Hong Kong as well.
It'd be interesting to see what exactly happens, because the Chinese Super League right now has only committed for the first 14 games. And they're going to have a break, because they always have a break for the Chinese national team. So they'll probably have a month off for the World Cup qualifiers. So he could be allowed to leave, because they're not going to be playing football. It's just a bit strange that they've decided already that he's not leaving.
Bit of a dick move.
I couldn't possibly comment.
Okay, in the domestic game, this weekend brings the last round of fixtures before the table is split for the first time, I think, ever. I think we've explained this now, listeners. If you haven't been paying attention, this is on you at this point. But for anyone who hasn't been, the top four are going to split into a championship league and the bottom four are going to split into a relegation league. And basically, they're all going to play each other one more time within that group. And the points that they had in the regular season are still carried forward. So it's just four extra games.
You said you wouldn't explain it, but thank you.
Yeah, I'm like one of those strict teachers who like wants to act serious, but also doesn't want to leave anyone behind, okay?
So he's one of them strict teachers who also wants to be your mate.
Yeah, I've got delusions of strictness, basically. Kitchy are currently top with 28 points. Eastern are second, also on 28 points, but with one more game played. Those two are a little bit out on their own now with third place Pegasus on 19 points. Though, of course, such a points haul is surprisingly good for the Flying Horsemen. So the final round of games to be played Sunday, Monday, Tuesday will not actually affect who goes into which group. That's been settled now. But it is, of course, a chance to put some extra points on the board before the round-robin fixtures begin. So first up, Lee Mann will play Res Cap, or Resources Capital, to give them their full name.
RCFC.
RCFC does appear to be their preferred abbreviation, but I'm going with Res Cap because it's a bit quicker.
Because you're a maverick.
Yeah, let it never be said that I'm anything but a maverick. So Lee Mann will play Res Cap / RCFC on the 9th of May in Chantrupeau. Lee Mann are bottom of the top group, and Res Cap, I think, are second in the bottom four, if that makes sense. But I think Res Cap will actually be much more pleased with that outcome than Lee Mann will be. I think the B's have fallen short of expectations so far.
More like the C's.
The C minuses.
Yeah. D plus, if anything.
Yeah, the B's have lost their buzz. It has to be said. Well done to whoever wrote that onto the script, because I can't claim credit.
They've had their wings clipped.
You can't clip a bee's wing. Come on. You can pull them off, but you can't clip them. That's insane. And who would do that?
It's like Karate Kid when he's catching flies with chopsticks. Just clip a bee's wing. Level up.
They've lost four of their last six in the league, which is disappointing, given that we thought that they were genuine title contenders at the start of this season. Res Cap recently beat Rangers to get their fourth win of the season. And that's more than I thought they were going to get, I'll be honest, at the outset. They'd moved up to fifth in the league, then they lost, so they're not there anymore.
They did have very, very faint dreams of... sorry to mention a former football club. They had very faint dreams of making the top four for a couple of games there, it seemed.
Yeah, which would have been outrageous. To be honest, the bottom of the league, I think, has been... Not to diminish any interest in this bottom four division that's about to be created, but it's been a real disappointment, I think. Southern and Valley, and even Rangers with the players they've got, should be... You know, they've got five wins between them, those three teams. You know, Res Cap were new to the division. They've never been a top division team. We expected them to, you know, struggle. And actually, I think they've done a bit better than expected, but... Especially Valley and Southern, I think, can be really disappointed with this season so far.
I very much agree. I think even Southern a little bit more than Valley. Valley, to their credit, they have a lot of young players. Of course, have also brought in very good ones as well and key players from abroad. But altogether, I think they also have a kind of long-term plan in mind. Now, there was a whole distraction, of course, with coach Pau Caillou and Lam Hinting. There's an update on this, by the way.
Yeah, well, last I heard... Pau and Lam had been suspended for 10 games each for the extremely unsavoury and unacceptable things they said about female referee Gigi Law, but they were going to appeal, or they could buy their way out of it. What's going on?
Well, they lost their appeal, it seems. And the ban for coach Pau for 10 games was upheld. For Lam, they did not appeal, but they bought him out to reduce the fine to 5 games instead of 10.
So they have to pay cash?
He technically has to pay, as I understand it. The club is not allowed to buy the players' ban out. So he, or certainly him, on behalf of someone else, maybe that's legally iffy. It's like when Neymar had to pay the cash to leave Barcelona. Mm. It's on the player, and he paid for 5 games. Which
but how much is the money?
$5,000 per game.
It's not a lot. So he's going to be paying 25,000? Yeah. It's about a month's wage.
Well, this would be like, for Rangers, it would be like 5 months of wage.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for a Hong Kong footballer, that is actually, yeah, fair enough. That's a substantial amount.
Yeah, I think it's meant to be priced prohibitively. Mm. So you don't just keep amassing bans and paying half of them off. But, you know, he was entitled to do that. That's within the rule book. People may have different opinions on whether he should have done it. But in fairness to Valley, they have said that he will not play again this season, buying out those 5 games with time already served, and with this 3-game exciting finish to the season, he would be eligible for the last couple of games, but he will not play until next season.
Do you think his focus might be on his next employer and wanting to make himself a more attractive signing rather than being... I mean, who's going to pick him up if he's banned for the first 5 games?
I hope that he can find a club or can stay at Happy Valley. He's not a bad player.
Yeah, he's a good player. Yeah. Like, you know, he was at RNF, and I was surprised when he ended up at Valley, to be honest. I thought he might have gone to a better club, but, or a better side, I should say. Valley are a proud club, Don't want to take that away from them.
Long, glorious history.
But to be fair, I think they are missing Coach Pau more than they do miss Lam Hin Ting. The 3-0 against Resources Capital was a bit of a farce.
Yeah, what happened?
So I think it was director Poon Man Tik who took charge. And for some strange reason that he tried to explain later on, he left out all the regular foreign key players.
Mm.
And basically filled the team, I think, with 7 or 8 under-22 players. No Charlie Scott in there, no Robert Odu, and none of their other regulars. Yeah, they ended up losing 3-0 against Resources Capital, which was strange because that would have been the game where they might actually could get an important win and would not maybe end up bottom of the league. So
for the second season running as well. They were bottom last season as well.
Right. Luckily for them, right, they did not withdraw.
Mm. Yeah.
Just hang around and you won't go down.
Yeah.
Don't fold. You're in.
So then later on, Poon explained that he wanted to first of all give younger players a chance, which is fair enough, right? But maybe you do this against teams where you do not see so much chance to win. But the other strange reason was that there are still so many games to be played and they wanted to rest the key players.
But that's still absurd because it's against Resources Capital.
Yeah.
That's a very good chance to pick up 3 points.
Also, there's so many games left is 5.
Yeah.
These are professional footballers who want to play. Fair play to ResCap. I think they flew out the blocks and they were 3-0 up within 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, I think Valley have been pretty poor. I think they started better. I think they were better pre-shutdown. You know, they got that draw against Kitchy. They got a draw against Deiston and Lee Man, actually. They've got a lot of draws. They've got 6. So while they're not top draw, they are the top drawers. You like that?
You should have put that in the rhymes.
Credit to Valley, they also went to a cup final. That was unexpected.
Yeah, they got into the cup final by
in
default.
A way. In a way. ResCap, I think it's interesting to note that, you know, they have put up these wins against the teams that are in and around them. And maybe it seems that they came into this season with something of a plan.
Mm.
As the new boys, inexperienced, they were probably going to take a few hidings from Eastern, Kitchy, you know, the other Super League teams of Hong Kong. But the teams that they've, you know, singled out as at their level, they have beaten a few times. And the goal difference, the all-important goal difference, bears that out. Yeah, they're on minus 20 goal difference, but they were nearly in the top half of the table almost moments ago. Interestingly, Pegasus also have a minus 1 goal difference.
But minus 1, that's understandable, right? But minus 20, I mean, keep in mind that the next worst is minus 9. So there is a big drop off. But you're right, I mean, their wins, other than that farce against Happy Valley, their three other wins have been 1-0. Two of those were by a penalty. You know, they have sought to close down these games against opposition, which is of a similar level.
They're very much the grease at the Euros of very the Hong Kong Premier League.
And I respect that. I think it's great.
Absolutely.
And I think I would say it's probably as well as they could have hoped for from this season so far. Hopefully they can build on that next year.
And all that without too many resources and without too much capital.
Exactly.
Just FC, they should be called.
Yeah.
The Hong Kong Football Podcast comes out every 2 weeks, dropping on each second Wednesday. Make sure you never miss our latest show by subscribing on iTunes, SoundCloud, Podcast Addict, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Yeah, so like I say, ResCap will play Lee Man on the 9th, Shamsru Po later on the 9th, Eastern play a team we've just talked a lot about, Valley at the Mong Kok. Things look to be in disarray for them. Less so for Eastern, who are unbeaten in 8 in the league. They've won their last 3, most recently a late one against Southern. Sandro in, the 92nd minute, making it 2-1, controversially.
There was certainly controversy on the part of Southern fans who claimed it was handball when he took the ball down.
It looked quite handsy to me.
The ref and with infinite wisdom, decided against that.
The male referee, we should.
The male referee, yeah. Who may or may not have had sex with players from Eastern.
Leave that one with the lawyers. Yeah, maybe it was a bit handsy, but worse, better, more controversial. Something, certainly, like the wicked deflection it took.
It's crazy, isn't it? It looks like it's going about a yard wide. And there's so much spin on the ball that when it bounces in front of the goal, it suddenly goes on target and in.
Yeah, it looked like something you'd more likely see on a snooker table or a golf green.
Yeah, or a googly.
A googly, yeah. So Sandro's googly has really opened up the title race. Easton, to their credit, I think they've sort of struggled, but at the same time, they've had some very, very late goals. There's a never-say-die spirit that is coming through there. Experienced players, you might put that down to, you know, a team of Hong Kong internationals.
Mm.
But it's impressive how many late goals they've got to claw back some points or take all three.
But that's usually always a promising sign for a kind of championship contender.
Yeah.
If they decide the games in the last few minutes. Taipo was the case when they won the championship. For Kitchi, for many years, they pulled off a lot of late wins.
Mm.
And that shows, I guess, just this confidence that they can do it. And Sandro has been involved probably in all this different teams so much this year. That yeah. Very much like that.
What we need to do is get some kind of graphic put together of Sandro's post-90-minute goals and how many they've been in each title race. Probably a decent number.
Yeah. So, speaking of Sandro, in all competitions, he is the top scorer in Hong Kong football this season on 17. But it's only 9 in the league, which puts him behind James Ha and Dejan Damjanovic, who are on 10. So the race for the golden boot is still very much alive. I don't know if anyone else is involved in that. Checks notes.
Still checks.
Yeah, Stefan Pereira at Southern is on 8. Funny that Southern aren't doing so well, given they've got 2 of the top scorers in the league. I don't know if anyone else has scored for them. But yeah, good season for Sandro yet again. I mean, how many seasons is that when he's been one of the top guys in the league? 8 p.m. on Monday the 10th at the Mongkok Stadium. Kitchi take on Southern. And word has recently reached me that Southern have been bolstered by a former Kitchi, dare I say, a Kitchi legend, Matt Lamb.
He's been clubless since R&F disappeared, took their cash back over the border. It's very late in the season to be joining.
Yeah.
It's sort of like an NBA signing, joining for the playoffs. But, you know, maybe Southern will be a good fit. Maybe it's a stepping stone to something else next season. I think we had a very strange close season, pre-season, especially with R&F pulling out so late that, you know, a lot of squads were already set. So we might see a bit of movement in the summer.
Yeah, it's funny that he was such a kind of stalwart for Kitchi for so long, and now over the past few seasons has run up quite a few clubs. Lee Man, R&F, now Southern. I mean, I'm surprised he didn't just do what everyone else does and join Eastern. But maybe they finally feel as though they've got enough players. But yeah, he goes up against his former side on Monday, where, I mean, he won everything there. Won 4 league titles, 4 FA Cups, a couple of senior shields and league cups. Southern coming off the back of a 3-0 win over Rescap. James Ha got a hat-trick in that one, hence his large goal haul, which I just mentioned. I mean, it's 10 for the season for him, but it puts him on 7 goals in his last 6 games. So he is bang in form. Kitchi, of course, and we haven't actually mentioned this yet so far this season, are still unbeaten with 2 games left to go. Now, can they emulate the Invincibles of 2017-18? And I think more pertinently, will it be the same kind of achievement?
I think there'll be a pretty large asterisk on any claims of invincibility this season.
I mean, back then there were 10 teams in the league, right? Now there are 8. And without wishing to put a downer on things, this is not the highest calibre Hong Kong Premier League we've ever seen. In fact, it might be the lowest calibre since the league came into inception. Maybe the first season, you had a few shonky squads as well, but I think things have been pretty poor. You know, I mean, that Kitchi team in 17-18 got 50 points unbeaten.
Right.
There aren't even enough games to get that at the moment.
That's very true. I mean, we did have, of course, not many cup competitions. But to be fair, right, for this season, compared to the previous ones, you would have to play also the best teams, the top four, three times instead of just two times. I think especially now with the playoff round, having like a kind of third half round to it, makes it also quite credible despite being a short season after all.
Yeah, one of the upshots of this second round is that Eastern get another bite at Kitchy. Kitchy took 4 points off them in the first half. And I think Eastern are going to have to beat them if they're going to win the league, right? Or hope that maybe Pegasus can get a result against them in the second round as well. You know, and it might not be beyond them to get a result against Kitchy, although they do seem slightly less sure of themselves when they go up against Kitchy. And interestingly, first versus second in that round robin situation will be on the last game week. It won't be the last game. I think it's like 7th versus 8th is the last game, but it will be the last game week, so we may have a kind of end of season title decider like we did a few years ago. But
and relegation decider on the same day.
Yeah.
Drama at both ends of the table.
Yeah.
Couldn't script it.
Couldn't.
Could arrange the fixtures that way.
Finally, the last game of the regular season will be on Tuesday, the 11th, Rangers versus Pegasus, also at the MoCo. I don't think we've mentioned enough how good Pegasus have been so far this season. Kenneth Kwok's Tin Shui Wai Pegasus, back in their ancestral home. How do you feel about this? They've overturned expectations a little bit.
Yeah, very surprising, I would say. We didn't really have them on the radar, I think, at the beginning of the season. Didn't look that great when they started with the Stapling Cup. But ever since, I mean, they have jumped all the way up to third. I would have never seen them above Lehmann, to be honest. Mm. Here they are, and rightfully claiming back their spot in what was known to be like the big four of Hong Kong,
mm. right?
With Kitchy, Eastern, South China, and Pegasus.
You're going back a little while there, but yeah. Da Silva has kind of made a difference. 6 goals from him so far. And yeah, good to see, because last season they were a bit of a non-entity. Well done, especially to Kenneth Kwok, who seems to have had a bit of an effect.
And it's the spirit of Yuen Long. Still a big crowd pleaser there.
Yeah, they still draw a big crowd, just like Yuen Long used to. The postseason, as it were. Is it just me who's calling it the postseason? It feels very American of me.
Yeah, it's just you.
But what should we call it then?
The third half.
That's not a thing.
The playoff.
The playoffs. But they don't.
But it's not a playoff. That's the thing. It's league. It's new little leagues. If they went into head-to-head games, then it would be playoffs.
The championship round.
But what about the relegation round?
That's the relegation round. You want an all-encompassing.
I want an all-encompassing. It sounds a lot like a postseason.
The championship and relegation round.
The mini-leagues.
Let's go with the mini-leagues.
That was the worst possible option.
Wait, no, that's not true. Your suggestion of the championship and relegation round was not...
That's not very German.
Yeah.
We're looking for the longest possible term.
But you would have made...
All one word in German as well.
The championship and relegation round, as it were, will take place between the 15th and the 30th of May. 3 game weeks in which the 4 teams in each group will play each other once. I've already done this, haven't I? The games will be played at the Hong Kong Stadium, CO Sai Wan Sports Ground. Boo. No one likes there. And the Mong Kok.
Wee.
What are your hopes for this round? I don't mean for, you know, I mean, what... We've already said it's a playoff between Kitchy and Eastern. I mean, what about the bottom half? What's in it for them?
A cash prize.
There's a cash prize?
Yeah. I'm not sure how much, but there is some money. Probably some parking shop vouchers too.
It's actually the money that Lam Hinting had to pay. He's just going to give it straight to whatever team wins.
I believe he had to pay his fine in parking shop
vouchers. Yeah, well, that's good. I mean, because for third and fourth, I mean, what would be interesting is if the points were wiped. Right, and if they had to go into it, start again, and then that would mean that, say, Pegasus and Lehmann actually had a chance of winning the league. That's not going to happen. For them, what are Pegasus and Lehmann going to get out of this second half, other than a few more games?
Well, there must be a spot in the AFC Cup for the third place team there.
Mm?
So there's that to play for. But I think, you know, bragging rights to be the best of the rest, which we pegged Lehmann for early doors, and Pegasus have blown those doors right open. Like, for them to be the third best team in Hong Kong, I think, is a credible end to the season, even if it is in a bit of a weird way. You're right, it would be much nicer if we went into this with a clean slate and it was, you know, a proper postseason. But then you're getting into, you know, we were regular season champions and we were the postseason champions, and at some point...
It's all very Australian.
It's just too much, isn't it? Shield winners.
The funny thing is also that neither of them is actually playing for a stadium, because they're very comfortable in Yuen Long and Chen Kuo-nong respectively.
Mm.
So
not even a stadium.
Not even a stadium. But they have C-Cup, as Johnny said. Like that, I think that's really a good reason to put in some effort.
So whoever wins gets there, they get to be best of the rest. Then whoever wins the bottom half, what are they? Best of the rest of the rest. Best of the dregs.
I hope it would have a China League 1 or China League 2 flavor, where like Eastern is putting money on the line and says, you know, Pegasus, if you beat Kichi, we give you like park and shop options.
We're just putting these park and shop vouchers on the table. You know what to do.
Well, that's everything we've got to look forward to. And I'm moderately excited. It'll just be a nice warm-up for the AFC bubble in June. I feel as though that's everything we've got to discuss this week, though. So, I mean, if you've got anything else, any other business, speak now or forever hold your peace. On that note, listener... We'll speak to you in a couple of weeks, maybe. Maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks, given how long. We've had some scheduling issues recently. Hey, let's not beat around the bush. And I hope you have a good couple of weeks with the football. Hope your team wins. Until next time, take care and see ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We like Hong Kong. That's a place for you.